Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Say amen. 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 That's sounding good this morning.
God looked ahead in time. Sinless Lamb, the price of sin's demand. Once for all, He died for fallen man. The death He died to sin once for all. As royal blood flowed from heaven.
Cross where I first saw the light. And it was at the cross where he shed his blood just for you and I. A lot of times in our lives, we try to fix our own problems. I mean, has ever been there? We ever try to fix our own sin problems? We think we can handle it on our own. And we get ourselves in more problems and ourselves in more trouble. But then we come to realization that's what the blood is for. That's what the blood is for. I'm a mess today, cause yesterday I followed the desires of my foolish heart into the dark, feeling far away. Need a couple of days to work real hard to hit the mark, to get myself back in good with you. But what a waste, what a losing game, 'cause that's what the blood is for. It cleans the dirty man I am, makes it possible to stand before you, Lord. Yes, that's what the blood is for. Or soon forget that you're the life where I am free in perfect peace. What if I can't get my act together? It's your blood that compels me. Oh, yeah. Holds the power to my victory. It's still speaking that you love me. Oh, that's what the blood is for. Cleans the dirty man I am, makes it possible to stand before you, Lord. Yes, that's what the blood is for. That's what the blood is for. Yes, that's what the blood is for.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the blood's for. Man, I'll tell you what, this singing this morning is awesome. Well, it's just good to be saved this morning. That's what the blood's for, covering our sins, placing us in the family of God, and then one of these days he's carrying us on up there to heaven. I'm looking for the uppertaker. I'm not worried about the undertaker. I'm just glad to know that I'm on the Lord's side today. If you have your Bible, I will continue the, I don't say Easter sermon series, but the resurrection in series, Luke chapter 14. Verses 13 through 35. I want to talk to you today about heartfelt salvation. I think we've had a little experience of that today. And as we bring this message to you, I will begin to help you to understand what heartfelt salvation really is. In Luke 24, verse 13, we look at the conversation that's going on. Now, this is a continuation from the resurrection. Jesus Christ is out of the tomb. The disciples had already visited there. The ladies had already gone there, and they had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, "And behold, two of them." Now that's talking about as those who were present went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. Well, that's a little distance. We won't go into how many miles that was in our miles, but I'll tell you what, it was almost a day's journey. It says, this reflects the sadness of the hearts. Look at this. And they talked together all these things which had happened. Two of these that were present that had seen the empty tomb, and they were bewildered. They were wondering, what in the world has happened? They don't realize that Jesus Christ has been resurrected. Now, he taught that that was going to happen, but you see in their human minds, they could not comprehend or grasp resurrection from the dead. And you see, Jesus was the example of how God was going to take care of all his believers, his born-again believers, who would die in Christ, that one day we would be resurrected ourselves from the dead. Some will be transformed from their mortal bodies into their living bodies when the rapture takes place. And I'll tell you one thing, I don't believe it's too far down the road. I believe it's just around the corner. You say, Brother Melvin, how close around the corner? I don't know how big the corner is. If I knew how big the corner is, I'd tell you when the rapture is going to take place. If any of you know how big the corner is, then you stand and you clarify my mind on that thing. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows when he's coming back for the church. It says, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Man, I'll tell you what. Isn't it a good thing to know that Jesus sort of scrooches up to you and you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our daily walk? But can you imagine Jesus himself, who has been resurrected, he's still coming around and he's still visited to acknowledge and let these know that he is alive. Now, you know, today people say it's impossible for a person who's once dead to come back. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not worried about the grave. I'm not worried about the undertaker. I'm just looking for the undertaker today. Say amen to that. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know about Hillcrest or McComb, either one. But I'll tell you what, I sure would like to cheat them out of the funeral. Hallelujah. Oh, look at what it says. And it came to pass that while they communed, that's talked together. In other words, they were saying, what in the world? Man, wasn't that awful? Jesus was crucified on that cross, and he was placed in this borrowed tomb. And now they say that he's not in that tomb. What in the world? Wonder what took place. Where is his body? Where did they take his body? You see, they thought his body had been stolen out of the tomb. In fact, the Roman soldiers were to guard the tomb because they knew that the teaching of Jesus' resurrection, that he was coming out of that grave. They guarded the tomb. They positioned themselves there to prevent anyone from going in and stealing the body. They could not hold his body down. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they reckoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. Hey, I want to tell you, Jesus still draws near with us, and Jesus still walks with us today. You say, well, I don't see him around, but I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit lives within us. When we get so excited, when we feel the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, in our heart. That's Jesus' presence through the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. That's awesome. Brother Melvin, explain how one person can be three in one. You wait till we get to heaven, and he'll tell you all about it. But then look at verse 16 now. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. You see, Jesus had not revealed himself. The eyes were shut to the reality that the one that was walking with them was actually the resurrected Jesus himself. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus were to walk in here today? Well, you say, Brother Melvin, that's impossible. According to the scriptures, you're absolutely right. Because you see, Jesus is not going to walk in here today, but the Holy Spirit's with us. The Holy Spirit's present. Hey, when is Jesus going to actually come? When do we go see Jesus? Well, if you're saved today, you're going to meet him in the air at the time of the rapture. And only those who are saved and under the blood of Jesus Christ are going to experience that rapture. You want to be sure this morning that you are born again, that you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven. And when you have that assurity, there's not one thing in this world that can steal it from you. The Republicans can't, the Democrats can't, and the other Democrats can't. Nobody can steal that from you because it's forever settled because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, and their eyes were holding, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one for another as you walk together? And they're sad. Well, I tell you, I would be the same, in the same position. I mean, if I had been one of the disciples and that I had walked with Jesus all this time and I'd seen the miracles, I'd heard the preaching, and I'd heard the teaching, I'd heard all of these things, and I was so sure that he was the Messiah. But then all of a sudden, the Messiah's not here. The Messiah had been crucified. There'd be questions in my human mind. How in the world could it possibly be that he came out of that tomb because we saw him put in there? You know, the world today still says he was not in the tomb. In fact, the world denies he ever existed. The world tries to say that was just a figment of the imagination or whatever. But I want to tell you this one thing. I know for a fact that he was the Son of God. He did come. He did go to the cross. He died on the cross. He did ascend back into the heavens. And I'll tell you how I know. Because he's living in my heart. He's living in my heart today. You say, how can you know that? Whew. Man, I'm telling you what. We get to singing with him and then we sing that. And what is the singing? And Ms. Lomax, she goes, I can't sing. Dear Lord, she's going to have to repent over that. This morning proves she can sing. Say amen to that. My. When she gets to sing that song, I tell you what, I almost came unglued this morning right over there. He's alive today. Praise God, and I'm glad he's coming again. Oh, but listen, as they begin to walk in verse 20, 19, he says, and he said unto them, what things? Jesus knew what things they were talking about. But see, he wanted to bring it out from them. He wanted them to relate to him their thoughts verbally. Not that he needed that. He already knew what they were talking about. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. You say they knew this one thing about Jesus. They knew that he was a prophet. And he was mighty indeed, the things of miracles that he performed. And the word of God and all the people. And all the people. And how the chief priest and other rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. You see, they were heartbroken. Well, now, church, when I think about the cruel way that my God was treated there, I cringe. And how could they treat the darling Son of God in such a inhumane way. It breaks my heart to think that his creation was so low down and so sorry and so blinded in sin that they were willing to do that heinous crime to Holy God. But you see, in spite of all that, it was God's plan because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, it took the blood. It took the blood of innocent animals to cover Adam and Eve's sin. But that was only temporary. Under the law, it took the blood of innocent lambs to roll back for just 1 year the sins of the people. But there needed to be a permanent covering of the sins of the unrighteous. And it took God himself to come down here and go through the same tormented treatments of the human race extended. Go to that cross, go to that tomb, but come out of that tomb that he might purchase our salvation through his shed blood. I like that song, "What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You'll forgive me for taking so much water. I had a sugar load just before I came into the pulpit this morning, but just don't feel sorry for me. Just be thankful that God's still on the throne. And it says, and it's talking about these things. It says, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be crucified, condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You see, they were looking for Jesus to deliver them and to reestablish the kingdom. But that was not the purpose and plan of Almighty God. You see, he did not come to reestablish the kingdom that they were so accustomed to, the kingdom that David ruled over, and the kingdom that had existed through the years. The kingdom on earth was over. It was time for a heavenly kingdom. And Jesus Christ established that. They couldn't figure that in their mind. It didn't fit in their thinking. But you see, there is a kingdom to come. There is a king that will sit on the throne, and he's seated there already. I want to tell you, one of these days, we're going to be in his presence. We are going to bow at his feet and worship him in the beauty of holiness. Oh, my, my. Oh, I know William will get excited. I know he'll shout all over the place. Dave might. We pray that Alton will get that high. Well, he did the other day. I'm telling you what, he's coming out. But I want to tell you, and I want to warn you, if you get to heaven and you're standing right close to me, be sure you got your nerve pills with you. Because I'm going to have a glorious, wonderful time in heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. He said, but we trusted. But it says, yea, and certain women also of their company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. You see, they'd found an empty tomb. But look at three things. And when they found not the body. I know there's no body there because Mike and I have been in the tomb. They came and said that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. In other words, they're astonished. They're astonished at this. And certain them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. The tomb was empty. That was the resurrection Sunday. Now this is the same day, but this is miles away as they traveled from Jerusalem back to their hometown. Just a few miles, several miles away. But look at the explanation of this. Jesus convicts them. Notice in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools. Now, that's not used in the terminology we call a person a fool today. O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, it was prophesied that Jesus would be crucified and he would be buried, he would be resurrected, and that he would ascend back into the heavens. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, that prophecy said, and to enter into his glory? They did not realize at that moment who he was. Even though they did not realize this was the Son of God, the one that was crucified, the one that was resurrected. See, their eyes were still blinded to that fact. As he communed with them, they wanted fellowship. Now, I'll tell you today, I still want fellowship with Jesus. I don't want to go a Sunday without going to the house of God and worshiping. I don't want to miss a Sunday night service. I don't want to miss a Wednesday night service. I'll tell you what, all these revival services, I don't want to miss them. You know why? Simply because I'm born again, first of all. Secondly, because I love to fellowship with my brethren. But lastly and mostly, that's when I have communication with the Holy Spirit and I learn more about Jesus. Now listen very carefully. Touch of the remembrance. And they drew nigh unto the village. They were getting close to the place of their destiny, where they were starting to go to. Whether they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He just talked to them like, well, you know, y'all are almost home, so I'm just going to go a little, I'm planning my plans to go a little bit further. You know how it is. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Boy, when Jesus is in your presence, you don't want him to go. When we have one of these services, I'm telling you what, it gets out of the bank, so to speak. I don't want to go home. I want to stay where Jesus is at, where the Holy Spirit is moving. I'm excited and I love it because it's in my heart. I want to tell you, if you don't know this Jesus today, if you don't have that burning in your heart today to want to be where Jesus is at, we can introduce him to you. Because that's why he came. That's why he went to the grave. That's why he came out of the grave. That's why he ascended back. And that's constraining him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You see, when you invite Jesus to come in, he comes in to tarry with you. Now, tarry, in that sense, was just to be there for a little while. But you see, now it's different. He doesn't come to tarry with us. He comes to stay with us. You see, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. He will be with you because, you see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that will carry your soul out of this world into the heaven of heavens and into the kingdom of God that we call the heaven, the home of God. And as it came to pass, what verse? And as it came to pass, he sat down to meet with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. They were in fellowship and in communion with Jesus. And go on to verse 31. And their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Oh, listen, with the Holy Spirit, birth your soul, your eyes are opened, and you know for sure that you know him in a personal relationship. You see, that day that I was saved, I was miserable. I did not know what tomorrow was going to, I didn't even know whether I wanted to exist for another day. When I got out of my car and went back over to those boulders. Got behind those boulders. I was under Holy Ghost conviction. And I got on my knees there and said, Lord, save me. Well, nothing happened then, but when I went into that bathroom to get ready to go to a revival service, somebody else was in that room. And it was the Holy Spirit. God saved me that day. And I never got up. And I trust that you've had an experience, not just exactly like me, because you see, you don't have to be saved the same way I was. I'm sure every single one of you who are saved probably have, I know you have a different testimony of how Jesus came to you and how you received Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, if you have not had that experience, you sure do need to. You see, it's essential to go to heaven. He says, and while he opened the scriptures, and the verse 33 says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. In closing, you see, when their eyes were open, they had that relationship with God. Said, did not our hearts burn within us? There was a dear preacher friend of mine years ago. His son, Donald Boyd, and his wife and trio have been here and sung many times. Brother Boyd was one of these itinerant preachers down in LaGrange, Georgia. Man of God. He loved God. And he always would get up and he would preach about heartfelt salvation. He was downtown one day in one of these ministers cornered him and had a conversation, said, Brother Boyd, I just want to ask you a question. What do you mean by heartfelt salvation? Give me a scripture. Brother Boyd was not that well versed in the scriptures, but he sure did know God. He couldn't tell him. He went home, had such a burden on his heart. He told his wife, he says, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get me a couple of Coca-Colas. And I'm going to get me a box of crackers. And I'm going to get me some sardines and some potted meat and I'm going to the river. She said, what you going to do that for? He said, I'm going over there and I'm staying till I find out what this heartfelt salvation is in the Word of God. It was said of Brother Boyd that he started reading through the Bible. He would stay there for hours and hours. I think it may be in the second or third day and he was still reading. And he got down to that scripture and did not our hearts burn within us. He jumped up, shouted all over that riverbank, got in his car, went back and says, I know now. I know what heartfelt salvation is. Hallelujah. I know what heartfelt salvation is. You who are saved, you know what heartfelt salvation is. Did not our hearts burn within us? You see, when I come into the presence of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is moving in a church service, I feel it. That's why I get happy. I tell you what, Brother Alton Sr. sure does. I mean, that man, he gets so happy, he gets to wave that cane. That's when I get scared. But I'm going to tell you today, you can know this Jesus that I've preached about today if you don't know him. Maybe you've got family, friends. Wouldn't it be awful if you had never witnessed to them or helped them to get to a service, church service, under the preaching of the gospel? And when they came to death's door, and they crossed over, they pointed that finger at you and from the portals of hell and said, you are the reason I'm here. You never told me about this Jesus that you knew about. Wouldn't it be awful? Church, it's time we quit being shut mouthed and we begin to become living, speaking testimonies of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the challenge this morning. It's a grave challenge. It's a large challenge. It's a big challenge, but listen. Time's running out. We are closer to the rapture today than we were yesterday. Now, I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. You don't know how much longer we're going to be here. Jack Van Impe doesn't know. Nor any of these prophecy preachers that are so knowledgeable of Bible prophecy. But I'll tell you this one thing. According to the Word of God and the signs of the time that we see around us, something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. Church, if we're ever going to do business for God, we'd better get busy now. Tomorrow may be too late. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This invitation is going to be a little bit different. Let me ask you this question. You know you're saved, but are you doing your level best? The best you can to be a living testimony. So those around you, your family, your home, your friends, your workplace, are you being the best you can to be that living testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, and you're concerned about that, would you slip your hand up and let me just pray for you? Nobody's looking around. Hands are going up. Would you just raise your hands? Preacher, would you pray for me? I want to be that living testimony around those people I work with, my family, my friends. I just want to be hands still going up, hands still going up. Oh, listen. You might be here this morning. You say, Brother Melvin, I'm not really sure about my salvation, my relationship with God. And I'm concerned about that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip that hand up and let me just pray for you this morning? Is there one here this morning that say, Brother Melvin, I want to commit to God to live closer to Him and be a living testimony, more so tomorrow than I have been in the past. Would you just slip your hand up and say, by that, I want to be that person who is going to be that person who will live for Jesus, represent Jesus at the workplace, the home, wherever. Would you raise that hand right now? Hands going up all over the congregation. Yes, 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 yes. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the liberty. Thank you for the help. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing at Westside. Help us to continue to be that lamp, that light on the hill. Lord, the hill might be high, the light might be blinking a little bit, but God, we still want to be fortified through you and the Holy Spirit to be that example, that light. Help us, Lord, just to move up closer to you. Follow your leadership, follow your instructions for us. For these that have raised their hand for prayer, Lord, you know the need. Pray, God, you'll bless and answer each need, God, and help them to be that living testimony for those who are around them, who they come in contact with, that they can present the gospel and present Jesus Christ to them for salvation. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.